Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
This week on Dueling Review, we review Lobster Johnson Pirate's Ghost No. 1. The New York Harbor Patrol are in over their heads when a ghostly pirate ship appears on the Hudson River, and the lobster's hunt for a major mob boss may have something to do with it. Let us talk Lobster Johnson.
Lobster.
He don't put up with no criminal minds. Feeds them his left fist of fury.
Sticks to Magnus.
His right fist of anger.
And his middle fist of what the hell is that?
I do love Lobster Johnson, but the problem is, this is a problem, I think, with what they're doing with Hellboy, BPRD, and Lobster Johnson. And also Baltimore and what's the other one just recently? I forget. But the thing is, this is Lobster Johnson, Pirate Ghost No. 1.
Right.
But if you go inside the inside cover, which I don't have right here in front of me at the moment, it's like issue 37.
Lobster Johnson No. 37.
Yeah, which is a little bit misleading.
Actually, it looks like it's Lobster Johnson No. 28 in a series.
Yeah, 28 in a series. So it's a little bit misleading because someone's looking at this and they're going, oh, okay, I've not really read any Lobster Johnson before. Maybe this is a good jumping on point since it is a number one. And then they read it, and then suddenly it's like, who's this girl reporter? And who's this criminal-looking guy in a white suit that's driving off with her? And what's this guy doing with the black hand?
And what are they like, doing when they talk about things that have already happened?
Yeah. And it's like, well, it's because you need to read, this is actually issue 28. And I think that's a kind of a, on the one hand, it's good because you can identify major chapters, right? So this is a new story of Lobster Johnson and the Pirate Ghost, right?
Right. It's a new arc.
But in order to understand it, you really have to have read maybe the last two arcs to really pick up on what's going on.
Yeah, I would agree. Something in this issue reminded me of a Lobster Johnson issue that we reviewed on this very cast like 6 months ago or something.
Well, maybe longer than that. It was when it was maybe the first Lobster Johnson series where he was fighting the giant robots. Remember?
And then there was.
And then because she was the girl.
Robot, and then there was a little person with a big gun.
Yeah. And she was the girl reporter that was on the scene reporting that at the time, too. So it's like, okay, everything ties together. And for someone who's a hardcore Lobster Johnson Hellboy fan, then they know everything that's going on. But I think for someone who's a casual reader, if you skip an arc because it just doesn't sound exciting or something, you're probably missing a huge chunk of ongoing continuity because, again, while these are separate arcs, it's all part of a much larger in continuity story.
Right. It's well, and that's
That's a problem with any comic book series, right? I mean, Spider-Man has the same problem. Batman has the same problem. But here it's a little bit unique.
I think that part of it is our expectations of a number one, of a limited series.
Right, right.
And part of it is the fact that as someone selling comics, they're kind of obligated to spoof their numbering and do this, or else, you know, issue 28 does not sell the same way as issue one. And if people know this is a three-issue arc, this is issue one of three,
right?
You can get in, you can get out, you don't have to verify. I don't think that it does sell the same if it's issue 28, 29. And
you may be right from a business standpoint. I mean, this is the thing that Marvel is doing right now with a lot of its titles, where it's just taking, hey, it's a new writer, a new story arc. Iron Man No. 1. Yeah.
Yep.
But it's also not directly tied into the continuity of the previous thing, because if the new writer wants to come on and change something, he can. With the Hellboy universe, you can't, because Mike Mignola has, I'm guessing he has, everything plotted out to the very, micro move that any character does.
No, he's making it all up as he goes along. He's just really lucky at how
he's just
well
really good. At, yeah, he's really good at it.
Yeah, he's ad-libbing it all. Just
whoosh. So Lobster Johnson is trying to track down Wald, this criminal mastermind who has escaped his clutches yet again, who has escaped the lobster's claw of justice.
The clobster.
And they're trying to track him down. Meanwhile, he's having these dreams about pirate ships and being a pirate. And he's got the black hand, which is just scary by itself. And then, of course, this pirate ship appears in the Hudson River. And no one kind of knows what's going on. It's kind of like it 1930s pulp meets Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. The ship that we see in Wald's little hallucination very much resembles the ship that shows up in the harbor.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if maybe he's not channeling an actual memory of a ghost of a memory or the ghost of a memory of a cheese.
Well,
sandwich.
Or, you know, it's maybe he's just having these high fantasy dreams that he's on a pirate ship. And because he's got control of the black hand, it's your monkey's paw, right? It's your wishes come true.
The monkey's paw is a little different. But,
well, no, but I mean, it's kind of like the same thing where he's dreaming it. It comes true.
Right. I don't know. It's creepy. And of course, during that whole mess, somebody steals Cindy.
Yeah. And the Cindy relationship with what is his name? Henry. I think
Henry.
Yeah.
One of the lobsters.
It's something we've talked about before. And I think it happened in the second arc of this series where they become a couple. And in 1930s, late 20s, early 30s, New York, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that is kind of an issue. And I like the way that the story deals with and doesn't deal with that, because it's not treated as a big thing in universe by the characters.
Right.
And, you know, and Henry McTell is a pretty cool guy. He kind of actually looks like Doc Savage in that first few pages with his shirt ripped and his hair cut that way. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm fine with that. And I feel like, you know, as we see these things being put together, knowing that this is actually issue 28 makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree with you that this is issue one. This is the 15th issue one. Can be kind of problematic, can be an issue, because if you came into this going, it's a number one jumping on point, it kind of is and it kind of isn't.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that it's hard to jump into, although, you know, I don't understand why Peter Lorre is involved in this or what his whole deal is. And
looks
I don't
like
know.
Peter Lorre, right?
Yeah, Peter Lorre is hiding Wald on a houseboat. And also using the ship as a distraction to steal Cindy.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what Peter Lorre is up to, Steven.
Something is coming up.
Something
coming up
nefarious
this.
In Peter Lorre's face.
I got to
sure.
say, I don't get to follow Lobster Johnson as much as I want to, because, you know, with all the comics coming our way, it's like, oh, here's a new issue of Lobster Johnson. Okay, I'll set this aside and read it when I can. And then 6 months have passed and I'm like, oh, we're on to a third arc already. And I've totally not caught up. So problem with Lobster Johnson, and really a lot of comic books for me right now, is I just don't find the time to read this like you would a monthly or weekly pulp serial kind of thing, which is the way I think you should enjoy Lobster Johnson.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of catch up for me to do in this as well. But I still,
Lobster Johnson
I really like
and Hellboy are both books that I prefer in larger chunks.
Yeah, I would love to see, and we're probably getting pretty close after the end of this arc. They could collect Lobster Johnson in one of those giant omnibus formats. I'd certainly buy that because I really like the art.
Yeah, even if it's just, you know, your arcs, if it's just the way I used to read Sandman back in the day. I can't read Sandman month over month. I have to read Sandman in big chunks, and part of that, I think, is just because of the way those stories unfolded and the way these stories unfold. There is a continuity in that serial method. And I'm from the 70s. I don't know from this pay your nickel every Saturday and see a chapter of a serial thing.
Oh, yeah. It's because you're just a product of a different time period, Matthew.
Well, that's true. And you're 3 months older than me. So
you've got a little bit more experience than you.
No, you didn't. First of all, you grew up in the 50s. It may have been the 70s, but it was the 50s. And I think secondly, and more importantly, when it comes to these type of stories, we've talked about this before. When you write a story, sometimes people write, here are four chapters. Mm-hmm. Each chapter interlocks, but each chapter is individual.
Right.
And some people, and I feel Mignola especially, is a bigger picture. I am writing this larger story, and the chapter breaks kind of come at the end of 22 issues. And there's setup, and there's, you know, there's a good climactic moment here, but it doesn't necessarily feel like this is meant to be done in one. This is definitely part of a three-issue story or a greater 20-issue arc. And just picking it up and reading it as a solo issue, I think, would diminish some of the fun.
Yeah. I will say, though, that Arcudi and Mignola do know how to tell a really good first chapter. And I enjoyed this a lot. And I mentioned the art just a minute ago. Holy crap.
Yeah.
My favorite page is when he's doing his Batman, when he's jumping through the glass at the nightclub. Uh-huh. And you just see it's not a complete double page, but it's like it's spread across two pages, but it's the upper half. And he's just jumping in. And he has glasses flying everywhere. And the best part about it, you know that he's doing a good job, is because everybody else in the shot is reacting differently. You got the big goon starting to stand up with his pipe dropping. You got the guy next to him, which is my favorite part, just spitting his drink everywhere. And then you see people, you know, further back in the scene where one of the guys is startled and his arms are up and another guy's peering over his paper. It's just, you can tell that everyone has been caught completely by surprise in this panel. And I just love it. I just love it. It's just so cool.
I've always loved, I think it's Tanchi Zonchik is how I pronounce it. And that may be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Love his work. I think his work is amazing. And my favorite page is that final page where they're in that giant Cord sedan, and it's clearly a Cord sedan racing away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Peter Lorre behind the wheel. I'm glad we had this chance to revisit that experience in the sanctuary. You know, and I'm having flashbacks to M and that really nice final panel where Cindy is like, I will kill you, Peter Lorre.
Yeah. Well, there's there's just so much movement in the page because you've got the city street and, you know, everything's stretched out, blurred just a little bit. So you got some motion lines going, and then that continues as you're looking through the windows. You know, those are added in there. And of course, Dave Stewart just continues to do a magnificent job in colors. That's the one thing that I like, that Dave Stewart has been consistent over all these years as being the colorist for the Hellboy books, and just does a bang up job on colors.
Yeah, I like the muted palette, but still a full color palette.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, not gray with red splotch, or, you know, there's a time when that effect of gray with one pop color really is awesome.
Yeah,
I enjoy the fact that this feels like a full color, maybe even a sepia tone color palette, but a full color palette.
Oh no, I would say that this is a kind of a washed out. I wouldn't say sepia tone, but it's a washed out palette. Just a little bit.
The point where Lobster attacks the lawyer is, it just feels like, see, it's 1939, see, and this is old film stock, see,
Yeah, lots of reds, golds, oranges. I really dig it. The only thing that I have a problem with in this entire book is that I get to the last page and I'm like, oh, that's it.
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah.
I want chapter two now, please give it to me.
I felt that too. And I think that's kind of the problem with the Lobster Johnson and the Hellboy stories, is one chapter. You're just like, oh,
I know. And my problem is that, again, unless I'm really paying attention to when the next Lobster Johnson comes out, I'm going to miss chapter two and chapter three and whatever else that comes next. So I'm probably in that same boat as you, is that the best way to enjoy Lobster Johnson is in trade. That being said, I wouldn't be a trade waiter, because if you're a trade waiter, you will never get any more Lobster Johnson in your grubby little mitts.
It's the problem with trade waiting. Waiting in modern Tweba. Although, not 1993 anymore. You can't get away with that.
Now, I did post this up on Major Spoilers this week, that there is a Hellboy original graphic novel that's coming out called Hellboy Into the Sea. Now, this is, I think, a 140-page book that is, you know, just a standalone Hellboy story by Mike Mignola and Gary Gianni, of course, with colors by Dave Stewart. But it is its own standalone volume. It's not a collected trade paperback. It's just its OGN. And I kind of think that Dark Horse is onto something when this is like the third one of these that they've done with Hellboy where it's this way. And I think they ought to do more of this stuff. I mean, if they had like three Hellboy original graphic novels come out per year, you know, that are 144 pages. If you had, you know, three Lobster Johnsons, three BPRDs, and three Baltimore books all come out, you could have a rotation of, well, it's week one here, this one's coming out, month two, this one's coming out. And by the time you hit a full year, you've got a heck of a lot of books stacked up for your enjoyment. And they're telling complete stories, even though those would be those chapters of the much larger story verse. So I think they're onto something. I just want to see them take that next step.
You want to see them leap off the pier.
I want to see them leap off a tall building in a single bound and float down to the sky. For me, Lobster Johnson, Pirate's Ghost number one, definitely worth picking up. If you're a little lost, that's why they have back issues. And of course, Comixology is where you can get all that stuff at a discount. And sometimes they do runs on that. So I would say go check out Lobster Johnson, Pirate's Ghost number one. I enjoyed it completely. I'm a big fan of the 30s pulp type story and the setting. So this is a big win for me.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, if only for one reason. It allows me to use my pirate dialect that I don't usually get. Stephen, did I ever tell you?
No.
What be a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet?
Oh, probably the letter R.
No, it be the C.
Oh, okay. Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Astro Boy, an omnibus of that. That's the seventh volume of that. They have
the
Baltimore
Astro Boy from the old days?
Uh-huh, I believe so.
Wow.
Also, Baltimore, The Red Kingdom, number three, which, again, is tied into this whole Mignola-verse. Slayer, Repentless, number two. Yes, that's Slayer. Totally that. Over at DC Comics, we have Aquaman, number 20, Batman, number 20, Cyborg, number 11, Deathstroke, 16, The Flintstones, number 10, The Fall and Rise of Captain Atom, number 4 of 6, Green Lanterns, 20, Justice League, number 18, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, number 80, and Shade the Changing Girl, number 7. Yeah, IDW Publishing has Angry Birds Flight School, number 2, Animal Noir, number 3 of 4. That makes that the penultimate issue.
That's a big word, penultimate.
Penultimate. Jim and the Holograms.
Powerful on the Scrabble board, 93 letter. Penultimate.
Jim and the Holograms, number 25. Oh, there's a new Kill Shakespeare series coming out next week as well. For those of you that are into the Kill Shakespeare series, past his prologue.
No, wait, that's Kill Otto.
No. Somebody else. We reviewed it on the Major Spoilers podcast a long time ago, and they reached out to us and said, oh, I know you guys reviewed this a long time ago. Here's this next volume that's coming out. Past his prologue, Juliet number one. Yes, Romeo and Juliet are getting some story time in Kill Shakespeare. Should be a lot of fun. Go check that out. Uncle Scrooge number 25 also comes out next week from IDW Publishing. Over at Image Comics, we have Black Cloud number 1, Elephant Men number 76, Mighty Man one shot, Paper Girls number 13, Walking Dead 166, and Sun Bakery number 2.
I liked Sun Bakery number 1.
Yeah. Marvel Comics has the All-New Wolverine number 19, America number 2, Bullseye number 3 of 5, Champions number 7, Jean Grey, number 1 postcards, bundle of 100 for $5. So if you need to mail something, you know, postcards, it's a way to do it. Wish You Were Here, all that stuff. Nova number 5, Royals number 1. What are the Royals, Matthew?
I believe that's the new Inhumans brand.
Oh, right. Spider-Man number 15, we get a Spider-Man Homecoming Prelude number 2, Star Wars number 30, X-Men Gold, number 1. Let's see. In all the rest category, we have Adventure Time 63, Archie's 75th Anniversary Digest, number 8, Blue Hour, number 5, Courier, number 1, Dark Souls, Tales of Ember, number 1. We also have some Doctor Who. Ooh, this one might be kind of cool. It's a 4-issue miniseries from Titan Comics. Doctor Who Ghost Stories number 1. Ooh, blah, blah, kids. I'm the Doctor. Run.
Any Doctor Blah.
Faith number 10. Grimm's Fairy Tales Day of the Dead number 3. Hellchild the Unholy number 5. Oh, boy. We're starting to get into some of those that have the 15 different covers. Oh, but we also have from Dynamite Entertainment, James Bond number 2, Kim Reaper number 1. I have no idea what that is or who it's from. I know it's not from Action Labs because there's only two covers.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Reaper. I wonder if that's like Kim Possible.
No, it's the Grim Reaper's little sister, Kim.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Kim Reaper.
Let's see. Pathfinder Worldscape number 6, that's the final issue of that. Oh, Penny Dreadful is back. This is written by the same people that were the showrunners for the Showtime series. So we get to see what happens to the what's her name?
Penny and her brother Dreadful.
Yeah,
and...
no, not quite that way.
Yeah,
Riverdale ongoing number 1. That must be a reissue. Oh, no, that's the Riverdale. For some reason,
this
I was thinking...
ongoing.
Yeah, this is the ongoing one, yeah.
The other one was like a one-shot.
Mm-hmm. Tank Girl, World War Tank Girl number 1. Yep, Tank Girl. They need to put their colons and stuff in there. Tank Girl, colon, World War Tank Girl number 1. Oh, there's also a Three Stooges trade paperback, Uber Invasion number 5, Water Dragon's Bride graphic novel volume 1. No idea what that's about. And we have Zombie Tramp, the Easter special. She does have a sexy bunny and a sexy bunny risque variants on there for you. Also a fuzzy bunny and a fuzzy bunny risque and a Mendoza and a Mendoza risque cover. All of those coming out next week at your friendly local comic shop. You need to head out there and support your local comic shop. Or if you don't have one in your area, comixology.com.
Nope.
Next week on Dueling Review.
Rock Candy Mountain number 1, written and arted by Kyle Starks from Image Comics. Eisner-nominated comic creator Kyle Starks from Sex Castle would like to invite you to enter the magical world of hobos. Hobos. The world's toughest hobo is searching through post-World War II America for the mythological Rock Candy Mountain, and he's going to have to fight his way to get there. Lots of hobo fights. So many hobo fights. A new action comedy series full of high action, epic stakes, magic, friendships, trains, punching, kicking, joking, hobo nonsense, and the literal devil.
You can show your support for this show and everything we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Contribution allows us to keep this show going, pays for our growing costs, and gives us motivation to produce more content for you each and every week. Thank you so much for checking out Dueling Review, and we will talk with you next time when you will hear Matthew say,
"The Art School Girls of Doom."
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.